Take your Bibles now, if you will, and turn to Psalm 100. Psalm 100. And in this psalm, we're going to see some things, I think, as you go through it. The emphasis is on God's sovereignty, His ownership, the fact that He is who He says He is, that He is God. As we go through the psalm, you might keep in the back of your mind that this really is a prophetical psalm, though it may not seem like that on the surface. It's reaching way, way out to the millennial kingdom. And the coronation here is the idea of the recognition and the praise and glory that goes to a king who has been recognized by those that love him. And the idea, of course, is that in the millennial kingdom, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be crowned that great king priest, and all nations are going to come to him, and he's going to rule and reign. And because of that, they have reason to praise him and to sing and to have joy in their hearts. That's all included in that. But we want to look at something maybe more from the practical aspect tonight rather than the prophetical. And I hope that you might sometime just study that and think about it in a prophetical sense, and about the crowning of Christ during the millennium and how it's going to impact. But here we're talking about the Lord. Now let me read these verses and we'll come back and you let God speak to you as we come back to them and look at them verse by verse. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. What an encouraging and heartwarming psalm this really is. Now as we look at it, we ask the question, what are we to do? And we see in the psalm, in verse 2, that he reminds us we are to serve the Lord. God is sovereign, God is the owner. And since he's the owner, and we've been blood bought, then we should serve him, shouldn't we? Are you serving the Lord? How are you serving the Lord? Where are you serving the Lord? In what ways do you serve the Lord? Every born-again believer that claims the name of Jesus Christ should be serving God, don't you think? I believe that's what the Bible teaches. We shouldn't just enjoy being saved and not serve the Lord. He's worthy of our service. And so he's reminding us of that as he talks about that in verse 2. How are we to serve the Lord? Gladly. We're to serve the Lord with a lot of joy and a lot of gladness in our hearts. I heard and read about a story of a little boy whose dad had hooked him up and made him pull a plow. And he pulled that plow as he was harnessed by his dad, but he said every minute that he did it, he absolutely hated it. Isn't it strange that some Christians say, you say, well, would you mind doing this? Well, if I have to, if you can't get anybody else to do it, and if nobody else has the time, I guess I would maybe be willing to do it. No, we ought to serve the Lord with joy, shouldn't we? We ought to have happiness. We ought to do it gladly. That's what he says. Serve the Lord, verse 2, with what? Gladness. Not only serve the Lord, a lot of people serve the Lord and they complain about it and they're bellyaching about it and they look sad about it. We ought to serve the Lord and be happy about it. And let the whole world know, hey, I'm glad that I have a Lord to serve and I'm glad he's worthy of my service. I'm happy about serving the Lord God. Do it gladly. Why are we to do it? Because he made us. Serve the Lord. Serve him gladly. Why? He made you. He made me. He made us. And so that's why we're to do it. He's God our Creator. It is He that hath made us, as He mentions it there in verse 3. When are we to serve the Lord? Right now, while we can. You know, the day's going to come when you can't serve the Lord. The day's going to come when your time is ended. Now, I believe you can serve the Lord in a nursing home. I believe you can serve the Lord even on your last hours and days of your deathbed by prayer and being a prayer warrior. And that is a service to Almighty God. But the day is going to come when it's over for us, either at the rapture or at death, and our service for the Lord is going to be over. Whatever we're going to do for the Lord, we need to be doing it right now. We need to be serving the Lord today. I meet a lot of people that are going to get around to it. And I've thought about, and Dr. Barber, you may have had it here sometime. We did years ago. We had a round to it Sunday. And everybody that you invited to church, and they talk like when they could get around to it, you say, well, now you've got a round to it. We'll see you Sunday. Amen. And we need to serve the Lord now while we have the opportunity and while we can. Who's supposed to serve the Lord? Well, if I understand it right, everybody who's saved is supposed to serve the Lord. There are no exceptions. Everybody should serve the Lord. God didn't call us to be pew warmers. God didn't call us to just sit back and observe, and in cases criticize, and tell other people, like sideline ball players, how to play the game. But God wants us to serve. And so He reminds us of all of that and how we're to do it and those many things. Now we look at the divine claims of service in those first three verses. We see, first of all, His creative claim. And we've touched on it already, but He has a right for our service because He makes that creative claim in verse 3. It is He, God, that hath made us. Turn to Psalm 22 just a second if you can. And look at verses 9 and 10. How many of you believe tonight God made you? Say amen. Amen. He really did. That's why abortion's wrong. Amen. In any shape, size, or form, or reason. And He says in Psalm 22, the psalmist said in verse 9, but thou art He that took me out of the womb. Who did that? God did that. In one way, He's referring to Israel as He birthed Israel, but here He's talking about the individual too. Thou art He that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon Thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. You see, God forms you as a being that He has made in His sovereign power. Even when you were in your mother's belly, in her bosom, you were a creation of Almighty God. That's why we don't need to mess around with any kind of abortion because of that. And if people would understand and recognize that God made that child, however God made that child, God made that child. And there are some that God uses that are born with problems and deformities and whatever, but God allows that and God uses it for a purpose. And many times you see in believers' lives He uses it for His glory. I remember one time a woman coming to me, one of our ladies, and she, it was a little bit later in her life, and it was her first child. And she and her husband were so excited, and she went to the doctor, and the doctor ran those tests, so on and so forth, and said, you need an abortion. You must have an abortion. And the baby's going to be born deformed and all kinds of problems. She came to me in tears, talked to me in my office. She said, what should I do? I think I know what I should do. I think I should have this baby and leave it in God's hands. I said, that's exactly right. You have the baby. You go back to the doctor. He won't understand if he's that kind of guy. But you tell him you're going to have that baby. And she had that baby, and he's one of the healthiest kids we ever raised in the church there in Connersville, Indiana. He is a grown man now. And a very healthy guy. Thank God she listened to God instead of the doctor. Amen. He didn't have any business, I don't think, fooling around with that. And certainly she made the right choice. But God has a creative claim on us. He made us. And not only that, we're born again. And so we are twice born to Him in that sense. And then He made a redemptive claim. He said we are His people. His people. How do we become His people? Well, He saved us. He bought us. He paid for us. You see, I do not belong to myself tonight. I don't. I don't belong to anybody but God. First and foremost, my life and my body is God's. 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? Question mark. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you? God lives in you if you're saved tonight. He lives in your body. The temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God. And notice what he says here, and ye are not your own. You don't belong to yourself tonight. I have people say, you hear them say, well, it's my body, and I'll do what I want to with it, and you stay out of my business. You know, some people, even Christians, take that attitude. No, it isn't your body. That's why you need to take care of it, treat it right. You don't have to worship it. You know, I have those temptations, you know, but you don't have to worship your body, amen? But it is a temple of Christ. We ought to treat it with respect and do the best we can to keep it a good, healthy body before the glory of God, because Jesus lives in our body. That's why we ought to be careful about our habits and many of the things that we put in our body. That's why I think it's wrong for liquor to go in it, wrong for drugs to go in it, or an abuse of drugs that are prescription drugs or anything else. It is God's body, and He has a right to it, and we are His people, and He has a claim on us tonight. Therefore, we should serve the Lord, and we have that privilege of doing that. And then He has a directive claim, because He says in verse 3, we are His sheep and the sheep of His pasture. And we always think of the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. There you see a shepherd leading his sheep. And he is the one that has a directive claim to us. We are the sheep of his pasture. I'm glad he's the good shepherd. And I'm glad that he promises all that he does. So he has divine claims on our service. And then he also has a divine call for our service. In verse 4, he says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Now I think that goes back to some degree back to the temple and the way they would go in the temple and the fact they would enter the presence of God. Do you know it's a privilege to enter God's presence? In the Old Testament, it was difficult to do that. Some could come in through the door, and they'd be in the outer court, and they would come to the altar and in the laver, and that's as far as they could go. And then a priest could go a little bit further, and he would enjoy the table of showbread and so on and so forth. And then only once a year, the great high priest could go in, and he did it very carefully, very diligently and carefully as he went into the Holy of Holies. And he better go in there right, too. And that's the way he approached God. But you and I in the New Testament, thank God we can approach him just like that, anywhere, anytime. We have the right to approach Almighty God. And we are his people. And we ought to enter his gates. How? With thanksgiving. What a way to come to church, amen? What a come to church like this, make a joyful sound, a joyful noise. That may be an instrument. And sing unto the Lord and give praises and serve and all of that. But we do it because he is our God. And in that, I would say a couple of things that we need to remember is we need to, number one, witness for the Lord. We should witness for God. We belong to him. we come into His presence, we have joy, we have that feeling of service. That means we should witness for God. And so they were to witness for Him, and they were to worship the Lord. I like to come to church. Always have. Ever since I was a little bitty guy, as far back as I can remember, my memory goes back to about maybe 3-4 years of age, I can remember going to church. I always loved to go to church. I've always enjoyed going to church. And I thank God for the privilege of coming and worshiping the Lord. Now, you can worship God anywhere, but there's something that is strengthening, that is good, to come into His house and a corporate worship where we join our hearts together and we sing with joy unto the Lord and maybe even have a little laughter if somebody picks on you and that kind of thing in the service. We have the thrill of knowing we're saved and we belong to the Lord. So we ought to witness for Him, not be ashamed of Him, and we ought to worship the Lord. And so it's a divine call to service. And then the divine compensation for service. In verse 5, not only the divine claims and the divine call, but the divine compensation. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. And His truth endureth to all generations. I like that word, good and mercy, in the word everlasting. And endureth to all generations. Thank God we are compensated by His love and His mercy and His goodness and the fact that we belong to Him. We are temporarily rewarded in this life. You know, I sang that song, I love the Lord, He has blessed me so. My goodness, if we could take testimonies tonight and you would just come out with so many blessings as you go back and think over the years since you've been saved, how God has blessed your life. And He has blessed you with finances and taken care of you in rough times and blessed you physically, and even those times that are difficult, He's been with you through those times of physical hardship. We have that temporary reward of God's presence in Christ, knowing He's there and we can lean on Him. Tonight, if I have a problem, I can go somewhere in secret and go to God in prayer and trust God and believe God will answer prayer. I thought of this, Dr. Barber. I remember when Ms. Barber had that aneurysm. I remember we were up in the waiting room up in the hospital, Methodist, I believe it was, and as we were there, she was not in good shape, and we didn't know how it was going to go. And Dr. Barber left a little while, and I figured he went somewhere and prayed and was gone a while. I would assume that's what he did, got along with God, and came back and said, I think everything's going to be all right. And guess what? It was. And she really has done well, hadn't she? And that's been, I don't know how many years ago, a number of years back. But thank God we have Jesus there we can go to, and He is present, and He is good to us. God is so good. Even when we don't understand Him, He's being good to us. Even when Romans 8:28 doesn't make any sense to us, God's still being good to us, and we have to accept that temporary reward. And there's a spiritual reward, I think, in our hearts emotionally. We feel safe. We feel the comfort of the shepherd who is with us through all of those things, the valley of the shadow of death. Listen, the shadow never hurt anybody. We have Christ. He's with us, and He goes through that with us. Emotional, mental, all of that. And then, one of these days, eternal rewards. We're going to be with Him forever and ever. And His mercy, God is good. Praise His name. His mercy is everlasting. Thank God for mercy. We don't deserve His goodness, but He is merciful and gracious. And thank the Lord, it all endureth to all generations. It has enduring quality. I'm glad that there is a lasting reward and an eternally safe reward to those who understand who God is, will humble themselves, get saved, serve Him, do it with joy, and know that this life is the best life because we're saved and that we could possibly have, and then we have a whole lot to look forward to. You know, I find a lot of people in these strange days saying, Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Do you find yourself wanting the Lord to come, the rapture? That'd be a good thing. It'll be an eternal thing for us to be with Him, to go up and be with Him, come back. And then, as I said, Jesus sets up His kingdom. And one of these days, just like that, we're going to all enter into His presence, literally. And we're going to see Him. And we're going to be able to, He'll be the center, and we'll come in from the hub. All nations will bow down and understand who He is and worship Him. And we'll get closer and closer to the Lord. We ought to get as close as we can in this life. But one of these days, we're really going to get close enough to be in His presence. And we will worship Him like we have never known worship before. But we ought to practice a little bit this side of heaven. And here's what He's saying. We ought to serve God willingly and joyfully and cheerfully and pleasingly. We ought to please God as we serve Him. We ought to serve God faithfully. We don't need to be up and down, up and down, up and down. We need to have put that thing on steady cruise control. I'm serving God and I'm not backing off. And just keep on serving Him faithfully and deliberately on purpose and continually serving God, making a joyful noise, serving Him with gladness, coming into His presence with singing, because He's made us and we are His people. Aren't you glad you're saved tonight? Thank God for this beautiful song that reminds us who He is and whose we are. Let's stand, please. Every head is bowed for a moment. We'll have an invitation. You may have a prayer need. We've already prayed, I know, but sometimes God touches hearts, and you may have a prayer need. And maybe you've lost some of that joy of serving the Lord. Maybe it's begun to be sort of something that just doesn't have that joy there. I hope that we can always serve the Lord with joy. And maybe if some of that's missing, you could come and say, God, help me restore the joy of serving You. I'm Yours. I belong to You. Some need to come tonight, perhaps, and say, God, here I am. I haven't been serving You, and I haven't been serving You faithfully and in the places that I could and I want to. And I want to even do a better job for You, God. You're worthy as we come into His presence. Father, thank You for Your grace and mercy. Lord, if there's anybody here tonight that has never been saved, has never trusted Christ, they do not know for sure that they're going to heaven, I pray that they would come forward and say, I want to know. I want to be sure that heaven is going to be my home. And Father, You know their hearts. And then speak to Your children. May You encourage us with Your word tonight. Thank You that we are not our own. We belong to You. And oh God, help us to give You our best with joy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you have a prayer need, you come while we sing.